Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is the official and unexplainably popular spokesperson of Rule the Roost podcast. You'll know me from such hits as Seb Stafford Blore, What a Cunt. Anyhow, this is just a short message to apologize for the lateness of this week's episode. Illness prevented its arrival on time, and annoyance has delayed it until this stage. We're sure you'll understand. Fucking Tottenham. Due to Seb losing his audio and the fact that our chat will likely be out of date and sound silly, this podcast will just be the full, unedited conversation with Taylor and Bestie, where the football isn't really discussed as much. Given what happened on Sunday, we don't blame you for not listening, but it's important to us that this part, at the very least, is out there as it deserves to be. We'll be back with our last show of the season and review episode before long, hopefully this week, but here's this one for now. Much love. Come on you Spurs. Fuck those Arsenal bell ends and please don't ever forget, we're going to win the Champions League. Now, run the theme music, motherfucker.
Welcome back, Taylor and Bestie. Always a pleasure, lads. How are you doing this fine evening?
Hello, Jack. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Did we speak last time? I can't remember if I was busy washing my hair or something last time.
I think we did earlier in the season, didn't we?
Yeah. It was the time.
It was obviously memorable.
I think it was the time before that, yeah.
I think it was expletive laden. I seem to recall.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like us.
No. That might be a different
podcast,
yeah.
Seb wouldn't have been on there then. Seb keeps us in check.
So. He tells us off because his mum listens.
Yeah.
Is he still on Tinder? How's that all going?
He says he's not, but he definitely is.
Is he? Yeah. Swiping right definitely. All over the shop, isn't he? Yeah. Dirty boy.
Does that mean yes when he swipe right?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit wrong. Yeah, a married man of 10 years, nearly, you know this.
But I've got to keep up with popular culture, mate. You know what I mean? Work with the kids and that.
Well, that's what you say.
Hey,
can
I think
you two
that was
introduce
a very good,
yourself, sort
dodge.
Of, so that our southern listeners know which one of you is which? Because sort of, I think there might be an aunt and deck sort of a situation where people can't tell you apart if they've never heard you before, which would be sort of a travesty.
Well, what normally happens is because I'm the person who does the Taylor and Bestie Twitter account, is what I get is I get people coming up to me and going, oh, you're Taylor and Bestie? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I'm both of us. Yeah. So
is that what this really is? See, are you just the same person? You slightly tweak your accent. It's actually just that of multiple personality disorder.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. I'm just schizophrenic. Yeah, no, so this one's Taylor. I'm Taylor and the other one's Bestie. You can tell the difference because Bestie's got more of a kind of baritone level to his voice.
My voice certainly is a little bit deeper than yours, Taylor, yes. I also tend to speak a bit more quickly and I am funnier than Taylor.
That's right, yeah.
That's a pretty good gauge.
And the lead singer of the Doves.
Yes, yeah.
Either Doves or... Funnily enough, I was just telling this story yesterday about when I got mistaken with him at Glastonbury.
We've been through that.
Told that story.
What might have done?
We're just repeating material now, mate. Come on.
Well, I thought we're doing something else. Podcast. So,
okay, Jack, have we actually got any sensible questions at all?
Let's. Should we just jump in and say how you boys enjoying Andros Townsend?
Do you know what? I was going to say I don't mind the kid. I think he's one of the few players who, since sort of Christmas, has shown any willingness to drive forward and actually get into the opposition's half of the pitch.
That's what he does well, to be fair. He does that part well.
Yeah, and to be honest, the kid scored a few goals. He's getting forward. He's getting, he's selling great positions. And he works back the other way as well. I ain't got a problem with him at all, mate. I think he's a smashing little player.
I think he's for the standard of club Newcastle at the minute, for the standard of kind of player they've got, he's great. I understand Tottenham fans weren't too enamoured by him just because he wasn't good enough for Spurs, but he's too good probably for Newcastle at the minute, and that's kind of a bit of a pill to swallow. Like, but I'd say it's probably true. And he's got a worse hairline than me, in spite of being 10 years younger than me. So I'm happy with that.
I think it was always a tough one. At least I thought it was with Andros, in that we always knew he's sort of fairly limited, but until like all the off-pitch stuff started happening, so him having Barneys with physios and stuff, people were happy to have him about because he was mates with all the players, and he was a different type of option to bring off the bench. But you know, aside for that, like there's only so many times you can endure him cutting in and shooting, you know, when he could have done something else.
He does that a lot, doesn't he?
It seems to be his party piece. It's an upgrade on Gabriel Obertan, who would just run a straight line and not bother doing anything after that. Yeah. So at least we've got the cut inside and kind of lash it option now.
He's a weird one, actually. You let him go, didn't you?
He's gone, yeah. Obertan and Marvel went this week.
Didn't even bother waiting until the end of the season. Just told him to pack his bags and fuck off, basically.
Yeah, 10 years before the season's finished.
Yeah.
It's like football.
Here's a couple of seasons' wages, just guy.
Well, that's it. I think his contract was at an end. It was essentially sort of him and Marvel that had been there for a long time. They'd barely played any games. They were the type of players that we had bought, and they were just taking spaces up in the Premier League squad, you know, in the 25-man squad. They were just taking a space when it could have been for another signing or something like that. And the board were always going on about how they couldn't bring any more players in because they had a full squad and this and that. And it was because it was full of absolute shite, like those two who weren't playing and were always injured.
Do we get 25 players in the Championship, or do you get more?
I think you get about 104 in the Championship, don't you? You get
great. Loads. That's grand. That's we'll be okay next year. Then.
Even me and you will get registered next year, mate. We'll be sound.
I think we'll be okay. We'll do a job.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling? I mean, do you reckon it's definitely done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I'm not too sure when this will go out, but Sunday play Watford at home, I think.
Everton
tomorrow, is it? Yeah. I think it's at home. It will be at home.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night or Wednesday night, as it is. So, I mean, if Sunday get two more points this season, then they're safe.
Have you watched Everton recently?
They're shite.
They're a fucking embarrassment.
They look rotten.
They're an absolute disgrace.
They do look terrible. I mean, and Sunderland are exceptionally hard to beat at the minute, so it's done now as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I have thought that before Newcastle had the little kind of bounce and they beat Swansea and who else to beat? Palace. Yeah. But I think that's the kind of Sunderland's result at the weekend, more than Newcastle's kind of, that was it.
Yeah. The thing with Newcastle is when you look at our games against the other teams down there, so against Sunderland, Villa and Norwich, we've only taken 2 points out of six games against those teams. And if that's...
Well, we can't have done it, because we beat Norwich 6-2. So there's three.
Sunderland and... Sunderland Villa. And Villa, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
We've only taken two.
Not beating Villa is a crime.
It's an absolute crime, isn't it? Like, they're the shittest team I've seen in years in the Premier League. And we can't even beat them. We had,
the shittest team since Derby, and we couldn't beat them either.
I know.
I mean, obviously, he's only had a very short time to implement anything, but it looked like there was at least kind of a bit of change coming with Rafa. So that's why I found that Villa result quite surprising, really, because he'd been in decent form up until that point. It almost kind of counts as a loss, right, doesn't it?
It felt like one.
Against Villa.
Particularly with the way the Sunderland result went. As I say, I mean, if Newcastle had drawn 0-0, if that had stayed how it was and Sunderland lost 2-1 as it was at one point, Newcastle would have been a couple of points ahead of Sunderland, and you'd kind of think, oh, well, if they can get a result against Spurs at the weekend, there's maybe half a chance. But the way events have conspired, Spurs lost at Southampton and... Arsenal got the draw at Man City, so it means that Tottenham have now got to turn up to St James's Park and really need... Well, a point would do it, wouldn't it? But a win would be ideal for them, Mike, so it's kind of... That hasn't helped either. Utterly.
I mean, in my opinion, sort of just the... I don't know, after the sort of blow of the Chelsea game and a thing like that, if it came down to, you know, you still being in it and being able to beat us and do it, I back you 100% to beat us under those circumstances. But I really can't call how this game's going to go. If you are confirmed as being down by the time we meet, you know, because there's always the fear of that, the knock-on effect of you guys being like, well, you know, let's say goodbye to the Premier League and put in a performance. But
it wouldn't
you are a bit of a bogey team for us, as you've said before.
Well, I've been over the years, yeah.
I mean, yous have battered us at home a couple of times, though, as well. Like, I think 5-0 or 5-1 a couple of years ago, and you beat us handily a few times. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if we were confirmed as relegated on Wednesday and then ended up beating you. It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever, because it's the most Newcastle thing that could possibly happen.
Well,
it's
just standard.
Yeah.
It would be to beat, if do the double over Tottenham, but then be incapable of beating Aston Villa or Sunderland. That'll be about right.
Yeah.
That's about par for the course for Newcastle.
Hmm.
It would be particularly painful not to.
I mean, you've
get anything in this one.
You've been at Championship before, and you came straight back up.
Yeah.
With Chris Hughton in charge as well at that time, so you actually had a nice manager.
lovely manager. Or anything.
Yeah. I hope he gets up with Brighton this year as well.
Yeah, I do.
But I, you know, this is the first time in my life I've got a Championship season ticket at Huddersfield purely because it's cheap. And, you know, I've paid more attention to the league than I've before and things like that. And there's genuinely quite a lot of excitement about who could come down. I mean, the talk for weeks now between me and sort of my lead supporting mates is where you can go and who's going to be coming to you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
People always say, oh, Villa Park's going to be a good one, obviously, in either Stadium Alight or Newcastle. Nobody's really cared about Norwich. I don't think that's a date on anybody's calendar. They could go down to League Two and people would still shrug. And that may be slightly harsh on Norwich. I just don't think anybody really cares apart from Ipswich fans. But you're a massive draw, and especially with how many Northern teams there are in Championship.
Yeah,
because there's hardly any in the Premier League these days. It'll be a nice one for you because, you know, there's so many teams that are actually nearby, a couple of hours here or there that you can go and see. Is there some sort of redeeming factors of going down that maybe you're clinging on to?
Well, I think it's that really. I mean, I was down it's a bit of a story, but I was at Wembley for the Johnson's Paint Trophy final the other week, Barnsley v Oxford.
For any good reason.
My friend Kieran went down. It was the fourth round of the FA Cup, I think. And we wanted a cheap game to go to. In Newcastle, of course, our interest in the FA Cup doesn't last more than one game now. So we looked for a cheap localish game. We looked at Leeds v Rotherham was one of them, I think. There was Burton and Oldham, I think, might have been one, or Bury v Oldham. And Barnsley versus Fleetwood was £5 in the semi-final of the Johnson's Paint. So we said, oh, we'll go down there then. Brilliant. So we went down there, had a cracking day at Oakwell. It finished, I think it finished one apiece.
Okay.
And then... You mentioned Norwich there. I used to live in Norwich, as it happens, and I'm actually delighted.
And you don't care about them either.
I'm delighted they've gone down because I have a lovely weekend down there. But the Johnson's Paint Trophy final was the same weekend as Newcastle away at Norwich. So I went down there with my dad, bless, and I sold tickets at Wembley for £25 for Barnsley v Oxford. So I said, I will have a day down there as well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I got talking to.
He just loves the football, lads. That's what it is, you know. He just loves the football so much. He'll go and watch any old shite.
Like you and South Shields.
Exactly like that.
Kind of like that. In fact, I've been to more South Shields games this season, Taylor. You're a fraud. But
he's exposed.
I was sitting at Wembley, and this gadget next to us kind of turns. I was going to do the Yorkshire accent, and then I thought I could really offend Raj here, so I won't. But he says...
I actually think it counts as racism.
That's what I'm trying to avoid. And he says, also, who's your danger man? Obviously, thinking I was a Barnsley fan, I says, oh, yeah, pal, I've got no idea, mate. I'm a Newcastle fan. I know Sam Winnell's pretty good, and Hamill, who I think scored a screamer in the final.
Is Niall Ranger not there? That's the sort of club Niall Ranger would tip up at, isn't it?
I think he's clubless at the minute. I think the last club he was at was probably Blackpool.
He was at Blackpool and they made him stay.
Didn't he go missing and Lee Clark couldn't get a hold of him? So everyone kind of started tweeting him saying, oh, yeah, look at Lee's trying to get a hold of you.
Well, that was it. He had a clause in his contract which said that he wasn't allowed to play for anyone else while he was still contracted to Barnsley, to Blackpool, sorry. So they took the option out on his contract for another 6 months so he couldn't play for anybody else. But he wasn't playing for Blackpool at the same time.
Just shithousing.
just shithousing, yeah, exactly.
But I was talking to this Rotherham fan at Wembley, and he was, because Rotherham had that really good run of form towards the end of the season where I think they won six out of seven or seven out of eight.
Yeah, Neil Warnock was in charge, yeah.
Yeah, after he got the job. And I was thinking, oh, if we go down, because I was kind of convinced at that point that we would be, as I am now. I thought, well, yeah, Rotherham's not a bad one. I quite like Hillsborough.
It's actually a nice stadium. I went there earlier on this season.
Is that who the Chuckle Brothers supported?
Possibly.
Yes, it is.
I'm not entirely sure.
It is. That's the Chuckle Brothers or Rotherham lads, aye.
Is it the To Me To You Arena? Is that what it's called?
No, it's something like the R-Seal. It's known as the New York Stadium because it's on New York Street, but they're sponsored by a company who the logo makes it look as if it's called the R-Seal Stadium, but it's not.
You know,
it's actually the really strange.
The little Chuckle Brother. So you had like the big
Barry.
One who... Barry was the little one? Because felt like he was sort of a bit of a tag on, like the big one was like the creative tour de force behind the Chuckle Brothers, and then
I don't think either of the Chuckle Brothers are creative tour de force.
The the Klingon onto that, the little brother.
I used to love the rumor about them that the little one was actually the big one's dad. I love that rumor
I've
so
never
much.
Heard that one.
Yeah,
isn't the little one the older one though?
He's much older, but that was why people used to say that he was the big one's dad.
I don't think he's that much older. He's just a bit more weathered.
Yeah.
Well, he got exposed for sharing a load of Britain First posts, didn't they?
Right. Yeah, he did.
Which is kind of a bit of a dying ember of childhood going out there, isn't it? Really.
Silly sausage. Yeah.
At least he wasn't fucking kids.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, true. By BBC standards, he's the same. So
yeah.
On the ladder of things that you're not supposed to do, like it's pretty high up still, isn't it? You know.
Well, it's a social faux pas these days, isn't it? But it's not. it's no more than that. I mean, a lot of the Britain First are kind of they can be educated, can't they?
Mm. Yeah.
Unless they support West Ham, of course.
What worries me, what's going to happen next, you know, is like Bodger and Badger, a member of the National Front. What's happening, you know? You just don't know what's coming next, do you? I just don't know where to turn these days.
Definitely Glastonbury, they're good socialists, I think.
Ah, well, that's a good... Dave Benson Phillips as well, I don't think he'd do anything like that. He's a good egg.
The fella that
I don't think they'll let him in Britain First, to be fair.
The bloke that drove the boat in Rosie and Jim's definitely got a few bodies in his garden.
Yeah.
For me. Bit of a Fred West-looking fucker, that bloke.
Yep.
Although his garden would be the river, so it probably doesn't, or canal, so it doesn't really make sense. That, does it?
Yep.
Fuck that one.
Chop them up and put them in the engine. That's what he did. Put them in the boiler. Fed them to ducks. Yeah. Are we still talking about Newcastle today, or are we just reminiscing on children's TV and the horrendous acts that they've done?
Oh no, hang on. Sorry, that's me. I've had Friends on pause for too long, and now I've started playing of its own accord.
What were you watching? Friends?
Friends, it's the one where they all turn 30.
Oh, right.
I'll tell you, let's get to some of these list of questions then, because football's dead to me at the moment. You know,
likewise.
Finishing second, fucking hell, like it's hard season being a Spurs fan, lads.
If we're talking about blowing a title though, Jack, there's nobody finer to speak to.
True.
Oh yeah, right.
Oh, hey, that's low, isn't it? That's a low blow.
I was reading a thing, it was only, I think, on the Football 365 forum I read today. Have Spurs actually got less points this season than they had that year under VS Boas?
Yeah. If we win on the weekend, we'll have 73, but we've got 72 with Gareth Bale, yeah, and finished fifth.
I think, that was after we finished fifth. Yeah. No, it struck us as being bizarre because, I mean...
Yeah, the league always works like that, though. There's loads of statistics about how sort of, you know, how many points will get you the title and stuff. And sometimes I think like that 72 and stuff has been enough for sort of like third and fourth before. And, you know, obviously this season it's going to be enough for second if we get it. So
well,
it's the way in which it works.
As a rule of thumb, I've always said if you can double your games played tally with points, so say 35 games, 70 points, then you'll be there or thereabouts, but you're not going to win the league. And this year it would have, well, I think Leicester have done more than that, but... It would have got you.
They've walked it by the end of it. Yeah.
They've romped it, haven't they? I still can't believe they played some. I watched the Everton game on Saturday or Sunday, whenever it was, and they played some lovely, lovely stuff.
They
weren't playing against anybody, to be fair. there were 11 empty shirts against them on that occasion.
Yeah, I suppose it was Everton. That's a good point.
Doesn't stand us in good stead for tomorrow night, does it? Let's be honest.
I'd rather it was done tomorrow, so then we can just kind of we can get used to kind of the idea that Benitez is going to be away, and we'll have Nigel Pearson.
Is he definitely? Has he got a? Has he got a? He's got the break clause, hasn't he? So is he? Is it sort of a? Has he said that he's not going to stick around? Or
they've got the break clause, but there's been a few reports today that he's considering staying, and that people who are close to him have said he's 50-50. Whereas he wasn't 50-50 before, he was probably 90-10.
His family live in Liverpool.
I mean, his family are in England, but there's a couple of journalists who've said that he's fell in love with the area and he appreciates the way the fans are and stuff like that.
He's found Greggs, hasn't he? Hatton Ben Arfa's texting.
That's it.
Where Greggs is.
That's it. Greggs and for your eyes only. I'd love to see him stay. I really wouldn't. But I only want him to stay if he gets given control over what he needs to be in control over, you know? So if he gets control of the transfers, he's allowed to do his own job, you know?
He's over-qualified for the Championship. I mean, we've just talked about how well Neil Warnock does down there. It's not a league that tends to reward good football that often.
It's a quite an unforgiving league, isn't it? You can go down there and get trapped quite easily. I mean,
I mean, Benitez's teams, I mean, he's done it, and you can see it in Newcastle as well. I mean, against Villa, they offered nothing going forward, but defensively now they look comparatively pretty solid.
Well, with Benitez, it's all about being compact, isn't it? And tightening the gaps between the lines, and squeezing the team and making sure that they're compact. That's the one word that he shouts more than any other in training, is compact.
That's how Borough have done it this last couple of seasons. You know, that's what their success is built on. Krank is quite... I'll say a pragmatist, but he doesn't really go out and you don't see Borough scudding teams 5-6 and out. They generally win 1-0 or 2-1, the Eek wins out, and they just don't concede goals, you know?
Yeah.
And if you can keep 20 clean sheets a season, you'll be in the right place, won't you? So,
I mean, the last time we went down, we didn't play brilliant football to get back up. You know, we played the football that was required, really. I mean, at times we were good to watch, but it wasn't like free-flowing kind of, you know, wonderful attack football. There was a lot of putting it on Andy Carroll's head, putting it on Shola's head, and Kevin Nolan getting the knockdowns, you know, and Peter Lovenkrantz getting the knockdowns. So we weren't, you know, we didn't come up by playing fancy attractive football the last time. But the last time we had the characters in the team who were up for that fight, and I'm not sure that they're there this time. I mean, there might be one or two people like Jamal Lascelles, for instance. I think there'll be one or two, but...
He looks pretty class, doesn't he, though, that lad?
Yeah, he seems like he's got a big future ahead of him, that lad. I like the look of him a lot, and I like the fact that he says what he thinks as well. You know, he comes out and... When we weren't playing well, he came out and said, people are not trying hard enough.
That was kind of the turning point, wasn't it? With Southampton away, they were 3-0 down after something like 15 seconds. And at full time, apart from it was when Jan Mat allegedly punched the dressing room wall and broke his hand. And that was the game where Lascelles came out at full time and said, well, look, this isn't on. People aren't pulling the weight you'd expect. And he didn't point the finger. He didn't name names, but it was kind of... It didn't take Colombo to realise who he was talking about, you know?
Yeah.
The fans have really warmed to him since then. And I think it's helped his confidence. I mean, he's 21, 22-year-old. He hadn't played at a higher level than Forrest, really. With no disrespect to Forrest, obviously they're the same standard as Newcastle now. I mean, that's the big thing with the Premier League. It's a big jump, and our player's going to be able to do it. And he has, in the last 3-4 weeks, he's been excellent. I mean,
He's one of the few who's covered himself in a bit more glory than
he has. I mean, the rest he's of still, them, like he's not.
It's not the finished article. Well, he's not the finished article by a long way. He's got a lot to learn, but he's got the basics. He's got the basis there of being a very good footballer for a few years to come. He's only 22, you know. He's only 22.
He's older than Mbemba, though, isn't he?
That's right, yeah. A year older than Mbemba.
He's probably been our player of the season for me. Yeah, I'd say he has over the course of the whole season, yeah.
Mbemba, yeah, I would say so as well.
He's been excellent.
I felt sorry for him when he's been left with, you know, the three players around him just running about like headless chickens. Him and Stephen Taylor together, I wanted to give the lad a cuddle because Stephen Taylor's... I don't want to ever see him play football ever again, whether it's in a Newcastle shirt or any other shirt. Absolute fucking liability. Yeah.
But I felt he feels like he's been there for ages.
He has been. That's because he has been. He's been since
debut 13, 14 years ago now.
Yeah. He's been there a long time. He's not.
Has he had his testimonial?
He's not getting one, Raj. He's not getting one. Definitely not.
Is it Stephen Taylor who does the handballs and then pretends like he's been shot?
That's him. That's the man.
How many of them has he done? He's done two of them, hasn't he? Did he do one in Europe and one against Villa at home?
One was at home to Villa when it was the got beat. That was the same day as Lee Boyer and Dyer had the fight.
That's the vintage one, isn't it? That's the one that everyone shows when he does the platoon dive at the end.
Yeah, he holds his
side. He's like,
He kind of stands on his tiptoes but bends over and does limbo as well. It's incredible.
Do you know where it is? JFK made less fuss than Stephen Taylor did that time.
Yeah,
that's
probably right, eh?
That's a fact. He did. Stephen Taylor was all over the shop. No good, that, like. No good. Get him out. He's absolutely shite. Did you see him against Southampton when he let that goal? He let that goal. who was it? It was...
Shane Long.
Shane Long, yeah. He always scores past us.
Oh, yeah. And he just essentially watched him.
He kind of backed away from him and turned sideways and then turned the other way and then turned back. And Shane Long just ran past him.
He like, showed him what to be stronger foot, didn't he? That was his...
No, he showed him the goal, Stephen. That's what he did.
Yeah, he did, aye.
With this in mind, I'm pretty excited to see him put in a world-class performance against Spurs on the weekend, then, to be honest.
Oh, he'll not get a game, even if he's fit. No, he'll not get a game now.
Can you not do us a favour and just, you know, play him and let Harry Kane have his way with him?
Yeah, we got to have Harry Kane at least win the Golden Boot. Can't we? We need to have some joy this season.
Can't let Jamie Vardy win that as well.
Individual awards in football are shite, and you well know it, lads. It's all about the title.
It's shite when it's like not our players. That's kind of the rule I have, which is fair. We got a question here, lads, from Shoobs at Spurs BJJ. Don't know what the BJJ is, but
it's quite a suggestive name, isn't it?
Saucy, I think.
Go on.
He says, with relegation very likely, a bit mean spirited. Will this make Ashley sell up, or do you fear an owner like Chelino coming in? Sort of two different questions there, but do you think it will make Ashley sell up?
He'll not sell. He won't.
He's never going to sell.
He won't sell up. He won't sell up unless he gets every single penny back of the money that he's put in, including the debt that he's give the club. You know, so the loan that he gave the club. So the loan is £129 million, plus he paid £250 million for the club or whatever it was. So there's that's £300 odd million before you even start. And I've had this. I think I've had this conversation with you before as well. You'd have to be absolutely mad to pay that for Newcastle United at the minute.
I think he's less likely to sell in the Championship than he would be in the Premier League.
Well, the value goes down, doesn't it? You know.
We'll see him make an effort to get them straight back up next season. Whether or not he's successful is another matter, but he knows, obviously, that...
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They're getting relegated this season. They're missing out on some absolutely ludicrous figure of money and he won't like that.
The thing that worries me is that he'll have seen how easy it was the last time that we went down and come back up, that he'll think, we don't have to worry too much about this. We'll be back up next year. Yeah. Might take his eye off the ball, you know, and we could get trapped down there. I don't know.
It does seem strange, though. I don't really fully understand all the permutations of financial fair play and such, but... You do kind of still feel, at least I do from the outside, feel that Newcastle are still a worthy Man City type project. You know, there's a big base there that you would be enticing to a foreign owner to come in and pump a load of money into the club.
Yeah, you'd have to find that owner first, though, you know, and he'd have to be somebody who would be prepared to do business with Mike Ashley, who's apparently not the easiest person in the world to do business with.
Yeah.
And he puts a lot of stipulations on potential buyers, he has done in the past, which is why people have been scared away from it, you know, about having
it's a cash cow for him, though, isn't it, really?
Well, that's it. He knows he's onto a good thing now, and if the Premier League money's is as big as what it said it's going to be in the next few years, he'll want to get that club back in the Premier League to get that money in again. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wasn't the wrestling bloke one of your potential?
Yeah, Vince McMahon, wasn't it?
But it was bollocks, wasn't it? Let's be honest. It was bollocks.
But that's happened a few times now, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
Where his odds have dropped on him taking over the club.
Yeah. I think we've got more chance of Steve McMahon taking the club over than Vince McMahon, to be honest. But there you go. And he's dodgy Singaporean consortiums. But yeah.
So that's it. Mike Ashley's here to stay. Shoes.
Oh, yeah. It looks that way.
Have you sort of resigned to the existence of Mike Ashley? Because obviously there were all the protests and walkouts and all that sort of a thing for quite a while now that's happened, but... Is everyone just sort of admitted they're fighting a losing battle on that one, or is there still a concerted effort to get him out of the club?
Plateaued a bit. I think there's because the money that was spent in the summer and in January, people have maybe taken their eye off the ball a little bit. Mm.
Rafa Benitez has done that to a certain extent as well. You know, I mean,
that's right. Yeah.
If they hadn't have brought in somebody of that ilk, we would have been going mental last couple of months of the season. You know.
Do you not think Steve McLaren could have kept you up?
I think we would have been down a good 4 or 5 weeks before now.
I think we'd still be. I mean, obviously we couldn't be with Villarreal because we already had the points on the board, but we would have been relegated. Yeah, at least 2 weeks ago, I think.
Is he the worst manager you've ever seen in your lifetimes at Newcastle?
I really, 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 really hate Kenny Dalglish. with every fibre of me being.
For any reason?
We could go on all night about Kenny Dalglish. He completely dismantled. If you go to the game on Sunday, make sure you buy a programme because I'm in it. And I was up till about 1 o'clock last night writing about kind of my history of Newcastle and supporting the team and all that.
Well, you kept that quiet.
Oh, no, I got an email of Chris Wallace the other day. what was I going to say there? I was writing about my favourite ever game, and everyone's favourite game is either the 5-0 against Man United, the 5-1 against Sunderland. It's something along those lines. So I thought, right, outside the box, what can it be? And I remember the last game of the 96-97 season, we beat Forest 5-0. Again, like I said, last game, on that day, Sunderland got relegated, Middlesbrough got relegated, and we finished second on goal difference ahead of Arsenal. I remember leaving the stadium thinking, this is, like, Dalglish just had the job. You had Ferdinand, Shearer, Speer up front. The team was phenomenal. Do you know what? I was still playing for them at the time as well. Mm. And that was kind of walking out the stadium and the promise of what was to come. And that summer, Ferdinand went, Ginola went, and Dalglish just brought his mates in. Ian Rush signed. John Bond signed, Stuart Pearce signed, and Dalglish kind of systematically went about the next 12 months just destroying everything that Keegan had done.
Yeah.
I'm actually working myself into a felt talking about him now. McLaren undoubtedly is an inferior manager. I say undoubtedly, Dalglish had a lot of money at Blackburn when they won the league. Mm. He was dreadful at Newcastle. He inherited a good team at Liverpool, and he did his best job to do an inside job on Celtic as well when he had John Barnes beneath him. So I think the man's a fraud.
And I have to put in notable mention for Graeme Souness as well, mate, who was an absolutely appalling manager.
He was terrible, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it can't go without mentioning Sam Allardyce's name as well. He's some of the worst football I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right, so you've had some absolute horrors, haven't you? Jesus,
well, yeah,
really?
God,
this is like a rogue's fucking gallery, reading some of these off.
But just in the last couple of years, Pardew, Carver. You know, bless Carver.
Hell.
Carver.
Joking here.
I forgot about Carver. Joking it twice.
And then you have people like Alan Shearer who got fucking parachuted in with 7 games to go. None of it was his fault, the fact we went down. You know, if he'd had another 5 or 6 games, he might have kept us up. Same with Benitez. Like,
yeah.
They bring in the man at the end of the season, the fans are placated a little bit. And Benitez will, you know, he's going to take the club down, and that goes on the sheet, doesn't it? That goes down on the record. It's not like, oh, well, he only got 10 games. It was, well, we got relegated under Benitez, you know.
The thing with the Shearer thing is he was, as far as what I can gather, what kind of my understanding of it, or maybe it's my perception, they had Ian Dowie in as well. And Ian Dowie was obviously the experienced kind of set of hands, the experienced coach. And I think Shearer was just there for the fans.
Well, Ian Dowie doesn't even work in football anymore.
No. Well, Shearer was there as a man manager and a kind of, you know, he was one of those, wasn't he? He was there for a G-up and a bit of a leg up for the fans and a man manager. He wasn't there as a coach.
He was your Paolo Di Canio.
Well,
isn't Dowie like a carpet shop manager or something now? Something proper random.
He's like he does the marketing somewhere, like a normal sort of. It's a normal office job that he's got now.
Really,
I'd imagine that's where Steve McLaren's headed as well. If I'm perfectly honest,
was an uninspiring. Like he couldn't even inspire boredom in me. Like he was just such a nothing bloke, Steve McLaren.
We said at the time. To quote a Noel Gallagher quote, he was a man with a fork in a world of soup. Which I, do you know what I mean?
He's
just utterly just fucking defeated. He just looked defeated the minute he got the job. He looked beaten. He just looked knackered. He looked like he didn't know what he was doing. And like you say, he was a man with a fork in a world of soup. And
he was one of those blokes that the perception of McLaren was always that he was just terrible but nice.
Yeah.
But I've read a quote of Steve Gibson's, Borough's chairman. Obviously, McLaren was there, but was pretty successful there. And Gibson's quote was that if Steve McLaren told him the grass was green, he'd go outside and check. which kind of lends itself to McLaren maybe not being quite the hapless, happy-go-lucky chump that we all think he is. Like, he might just be a bit of an arsehole, like, you know?
Yeah, possibly. You never know, do you? Well, I'm sure he's quite happy with his payoff.
You know the stick that McLaren got for being the Wally with the Brolly that game against Croatia at Wembley.
Certainly. Yeah.
I don't take any issue with him having an umbrella because it was a rainy night. I'm a man who takes an umbrella at work when it rains. My problem with him was that he had a cup of coffee in his hand. He's only got to stand there for 45 minutes. If you can't go three quarters now without a cup of coffee, then you've got your planning all wrong there.
It's a bit of the proper football bloke checklist, that though, isn't it? You know, hot beverage on the touchline.
Yeah.
4-4-2, that kind of stuff. I think it's, you know.
If it's good enough for Bielsa, then it's good enough for McLaren. Bielsa has his cup of coffee, doesn't he? Did you see? Have you seen that clip of him when he sits on it? Hilarious. He gets his cup of coffee and he gives it to his assistant, and his assistant puts it on the little drinks bucket behind him, and he steps back and sits down straight on top of the cup of coffee. Brilliant.
Oh, that looks smart.
Great fun. Yeah, great fun.
Jason Faulkner asks, where's good for a beer in town after the game?
That's all Newcastle's good for.
Oh, no, that's not nice. We've got culture.
It's not nice, but it's probably true.
Well, it's true, but it's not nice, though, is it?
You know, where's good for a beer in town after the...
The Strawberry's where we go usually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although, I don't know how much...
Is that the one right by the train and bus station type of place?
No, it's directly opposite the ground. It's off the back of the Gallagher end.
Oh,
that's the Strawberry.
I've only been to Newcastle a few times. I've stopped there on the way to a wedding once. We once got a National Express up from Leeds to sort of Teesside, where this wedding was, in the arse end of nowhere, that was sort of like halfway in between Middlesbrough and Sunderland, right on the coast.
Was it in a big, like, stately home?
Yeah.
Was it? Mate, it's probably the same place I went to a wedding.
Was it same hall by any chance?
I can't remember.
It might be something like that, but it was around that similar area, Bain. So. Yeah,
it was really, really lovely.
Yeah.
It was sort of a backward place where the taxi company were two cars that were a lad and his dad who had two motors between them, and that were the taxi company. So we just essentially, instead of ringing the taxi firm anymore, because I think his mum was answering the phones, we just took his mobile number off him so that he could take us back to where we were staying that evening.
Brilliant.
That's how small it was, like half an hour drive to your local supermarket type of place.
Yeah.
What was for?
But yeah, we stopped in Newcastle, and there was one pub we went to by the train station. It was all right. It was quite run down, but it was, you know, nice owner and everything.
Mm. Well, as far as having a drink in a town goes, you've got Tilly's. I like Tilly's up next to the old Opera House. It's a nice one.
Yeah, Tilly's is fantastic. That's one of my favourites, Tilly's.
The Centurion in the station's quite good for a beer. Yeah. Where else? That's what I think. Well, the Strawberry.
Do you two not frequent the student trebles bars?
Oh, not anymore.
What are they called?
Mushrooms, one of them, isn't it? Mushroom.
Yeah, they've all got stupid names. What's the other one? Like Bijou or something.
Sinners.
Yeah.
I got locked in Mushroom once after a derby match. it was one of my first. It was a 5-1 derby, actually. It was one of the first games I'd been to after I moved back up from Norfolk. And loads of my friends went to the game that I hadn't seen for about a year or two. So I kind of met them in Mushroom. And I'll probably best describe it to you, lads, because you might not have been in before, but you've got the main street, or our main street, and you've got to go downstairs to get into this bar. And it's actually underground, under the road. And I had a couple of gin and tonics. I thought, right, I better go home and stuff, like get myself kind of tidied up with a Sunday tea time. And I went, and the bouncer said, oh, no, you can't go outside. It's too dangerous. So it was basically, the Newcastle was on fire because they'd beaten Sunderland 5-1. It was really bizarre. So I had to go and get another gin and tonic. Just to kind of being the archetypal kind of stereotypical Geordie that I am.
Yeah.
Just to kind of pass the time. And then I went outside, and honestly, the sky was orange. It was terrifying. But yeah,
end of day.
Did you go and get stuck in?
Oh, of course, yeah. I had my top off, and I was knocking horses out left, right, and centre. And
you won't even have a derby next year because Borough have come up.
No, I think the closest we'll have to a derby is probably Leeds or Hull if they don't come up.
Or give it a couple of years, Carlisle.
The Leeds fans will be looking forward to that.
Yeah, the Leeds have got a bit of a... I've never been... I've been at Welland Road once, but it was for the Rugby League. They've a bit of a reputation of the Leeds fans for being quite West Ham.
They're horrible.
Yeah, they're not the greatest when they're on about their own club.
Yeah.
But, you know... When do that sort, you know, when you knock about with them and you got to school with them, that there's not a bad bone in the body, but as soon as they start talking about the football club, something happens to them.
Sunderland like that, I find.
Yeah.
I know, even like I read a few Sunderland kind of websites because they're well written and all that. And even then, when they start talking about Newcastle, something happens. Something really bizarre happens to them, and it just becomes this kind of bile and hatred. And it's a little bit sad because they're well educated blokes, like, you know, and it's just kind of, you don't need to go on like that. Yeah.
Still, you know, it's what it's all about, isn't it, lads? Hating each other. It's what football's about, really.
Yeah. That's it. That's all. That
piss
is
boiling and
it's the only reason I'm in football.
We are going to miss you next year, though, because we can't have you on twice a season. If we get each other in the cups, maybe that's an excuse. But
should we not just come on and talk about a different team? Should we just get us on when you play Sunderland, and we'll.
Oh,
just...
we always need Liverpool fans. Can you? Like, because we never get Liverpool fans on.
We'll do that, yeah.
Or if
we're going. I was going to have to drop this in. We're going to Munich this weekend, right? We're going to go and watch Bayern. So if you get Bayern in the Champions League, then we'll be your Bayern pundits for the week.
Are you going to put on like really bad German accents as well?
Well, we've already got really bad accents, so yeah, we'll just add a German tinge to them.
There's probably not a big difference, to be honest with you.
It's not, yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. It's authentic.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I've been practicing.
Is that just a trip for beers and sausage, though?
Well,
no euphemism.
Is there any other reason for a trip? Come on. No, it's my birthday on Friday, so we're going over. We're going over on Thursday.
Oh, very, very happy birthday.
Are you a couple of those what is known as hipsters, lads, going over and checking out the Bundesliga and all that?
Well,
Gegenpressing and...
Oh, I love a bit of Gegenpress.
You get Gegenpressing at Huddersfield these days.
I know, man.
That's true.
Huddersfield, you don't need to go to Germany for that.
I've been Gegenpressed many a time in Newcastle City Centre, I can tell you. We went to Dusseldorf for Bestie Stag Do a few years ago. And we went to Leverkusen on the Saturday afternoon to watch them. It was the first game of the season. And I hope you don't mind me speaking on your behalf here, Stephen, but I think we fell in love with it a little bit, you know.
I think that's fair. You haven't spoke out of turn, Taylor. I'll let that slide.
Yeah. I think just the whole the match day kind of, I know it's a wanky phrase, but the match day experience, the kind of build up of the game and sitting in the beer gardens and having a drink and that. And everyone just kind of enjoying themselves, and there was no aggro, there was no dickheads with their tops off throwing tables about and stuff like that. It was just a really nice way to watch football.
I thought you said Bestie went with you.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, so we did that, and then last year, the year before, I can't remember, but one of the two, we went across to Hamburg, and we were going to go and see Hamburg, but their game got moved to the Sunday night. And St. Pauli were playing away from home. So in the end, we just went to the St. Pauli Stadium, did a little tour and stuff. And we said we want to try and go back, you know, whenever we can. But Munich was my choice because I've wanted to go to the Allianz for a long time. I've really fancied going. So I just thought, why not, you know? And we obviously couldn't get tickets. It was impossible. And then somebody came up trumps for us this week. And we've managed to get a couple of tickets for the Hanover game. So Cannot wait. Should be good.
Is that Pep's last game, is it?
It is. They're getting the trophy presented and everything as well, so no doubt it'll be an absolute sausage fest.
Well, God, it will be Pep's last game as well. I haven't thought of that.
It will be, yeah, before he gets off on the plane to Manc.
Can we go to the Olympic Stadium as well, please, Taylor? I've always wanted to go there.
Yes, we can. We'll do that on the Friday, shall we, Stephen?
Thank you.
Good.
Is it just you two going, or have you got a massive gang of you?
There's four of us all together. There's four of us, yeah. There was another lad coming, but his work said he couldn't have the time off, so he's not coming anymore.
And he's absolutely
devastated.
He booked the wrong dates to start with as well, didn't he? He was going like 10 days later.
He's paid twice for his flights, and he's booked a hotel, and then his work have said he can't have the time off. I'd have been raging. But there's me and Bestie and our mates, Daz and Brian, who are going as well, so we should have a good time, I'd imagine.
Excellent. Have we got any more questions, Jack?
I don't think we do, lads.
I saw one on Twitter. There was one about which player would we take on loan from Spurs?
Yeah, go on then.
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go for it.
Can we have Harry Kane, please?
Two-season wonder.
Yeah, I know. Still can't shut his mouth, though, can he?
That seems like a really easy one.
I know.
I was trying to think of, like, I'm trying to, like, throw a curveball in here, but I can't. Harry Kane's just brilliant, isn't he?
Yes.
Would you not want like a proper defender? We can send you that.
Well, we were supposed to get Alderweireld. We were supposed to get Alderweireld before he went to Southampton. He'd agreed a deal with us in principle, and then at the last minute changed his mind and went to Southampton instead. He was going to
saw sense.
Oh, he knew exactly what he was doing, that lad. But he was going to join us at the start of the 2014-15 season. Yeah, he was going to come, and it was all kind of to do with Yanga Mbiwa being loaned out to Roma, and that deal went through, and then Alderweireld changed his mind, and it was too late to get Yanga and Mbiwa back, so we ended up with one less defender, and Stephen Taylor had to play. So, yeah.
What do you reckon, Raj? Loan him someone like Cameron Carter-Vickers, give him a bit of first-team experience. Might do all right in this championship.
Send him one of the kids.
Who's that? Not heard of him. Who's that?
It's like a USA under-21 international that we got on our books. Right back.
We need a yank. We haven't had a yank for years. Was the Gooch the last yank that we had, Steve?
Yeah, born the same day as you. It's his birthday on Friday as well.
That's correct.
We sent DeAndre Yedlin on loan at Sunderland.
He's quick.
That's our fullback training school.
He's quick in a straight line.
Danny Rose was there as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, Danny Rose was there and came back a different player.
Came back an actual player.
came back a footballer.
He came back a naughty little shithouse based on the stuff I saw on the Chelsea game.
you just know now if things go sour on the weekend, your players are going into the championship season injured.
Well, there will be anyway at our place, man. They all just the hamstrings going left, right and centre in our place.
Something I was kind of hanging a lot of hopes on for the weekend when I thought there might be a battle in it was that Spurs... half of Spurs' team is basically the England team, and they might just be kind of taking their foot off a little bit in preparation for the European Championships. But obviously, with Ali being suspended and something to play for on Sunday, I can't see that being the case anymore, sadly.
Have you, just out of interest, actually, from an outsider's perspective, have you enjoyed, like, seeing Spurs and especially, like, I guess, like, the English contingent and what it might mean for, like, the England team at the Euros this summer?
It's nice. Not something I've really thought about until the Germany game, when I think Eric Dier got that goal late on, and I thought, bloody hell, Tottenham have got half the fucking England team here.
You're not going to do that thing if we win it, where you go all West Ham on us and go, oh, we won the fucking...
We definitely would, 100%. It would just happen, wouldn't it?
Especially after not winning the league, we'll take credit for the Euros instead.
It was Liverpool a few years ago, wasn't it, when they had Gerrard, Henderson. You had Carragher, you had Milner, you had quite a few. I think Milner was there at the time. Liverpool had quite a lot of the England, or Sturridge and Sterling as well.
It's nice to see the core being made up of another squad, you know, of another team, instead of just the usual Man U, Arsenal kind of Liverpool crack.
We say this, he's going to start Walcott and fucking Wilshere and...
Rooney.
Yeah, I'd like to see Danny Drinks Water get a game. That's what I want.
Drinks Water.
Danny Drinks Water. I like him. He's good.
Isn't it a shame Wes Morgan hasn't been recognised by England yet?
It is. It's a great shame, Stephen. Yeah. You'd think, and Robert Huth as well, you'd think after all them performances that they put in, Robert Huth would have got a show.
What's Hugo Lloris got to do?
Exactly.
That's true.
Barry Chuckle wouldn't want Mahrez in the squad, though.
No, no. he'd be voting out.
He'd be sharing if he thinks this is a disgrace. That's what he'd be doing. Oh,
yeah, Barry Chuckle's all over the Brexit, like, isn't he? Let's be honest. Yeah.
Barry Chuckle's all over the party. Fan.
Yeah. I hope they'd do that.
He'd love Vardy, though. Absolutely love him.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, he's a cracking player. Absolutely cracking player.
Vardy?
Yeah.
He's just
not a blackjack.
I mean, he's a shithouse, but he's a cracking player.
He looks like Steptoe as well.
He does.
He's got such an angular face. It's horrible.
He's an incredible looking man, isn't he?
I compared him to Christian Bale in The Machinist. Because he's got that same sort of malnourished quality to him.
Yeah.
He just looks unpleasant. Like, he just doesn't look like a nice man at all. I don't know, maybe... I'd say you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but he's sort of opened it up and had a read as well, and he's not very nice, is he? So.
One of the little kind of surprises that I've had this year was that he wasn't involved in the pre-season madness.
Steady on.
Well, no, I said he wasn't here. That's all right. I'm just surprised he wasn't, because he just comes across as being a bit of a degenerate.
He is from Sheffield.
He's definitely got a massive spoiler on the back of his Ford, his Vauxhall Corsa, hasn't he? Let's be honest. He really has. He's had the back seats taken out. He's got subwoofers put in.
And he's got
a Nürburgring sticker on the back as well.
Nürburgring. The tweets from about a year ago, people putting stuff like Jamie Vardy claps when a plane lands. Stuff like that. Like, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. But cans a monster for breakfast, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Wears a tap-out hoodie, all that.
Bless him. England's hope.
Lonsdale trainers.
Yeah, the nation's expectation.
No, he's getting paid money by Beats by Dre now, so he'll have upgraded his Citroen Saxo by now.
True, sir.
You'll have a spoiler at least.
Definitely. He's got one of them blue lights that goes underneath, so it looks like you're driving around in a fucking sunbed.
Oh, you know the neon. They're called neons, Taylor. Neons.
Are they?
Oh, really? Yeah, I know that because I put some of my car in Grand Theft Auto last night.
Ooh, check you out.
No, that's me.
Flash.
Oh, you know it, lads.
He's new money. That's best his problem. He's new money.
Nouveau riche.
Yes.
I am.
All right.
We all done?
Yeah, let's just get it there, lads. Thank you very much for coming on for, you know, the last time for a while. Unless we see you in the cup, then we'll make a special effort because, we like talking to you. So...
That's lovely. Like, it's been more like a catch up with friends rather than a podcast. It's been what a lovely half hour or so, lads.
It has.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for giving us your time.
We must do this properly one day in person over a few beers and a packet of Jaffa cakes. Definitely.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. We'll get Seb involved if he's not busy shagging as well. So
swiping right.
He's always...
Don't bring your wives along, lads. Yeah. When he met Jack's missus, he...
Oh, he mate, schmooze offensive. He was kind of, hello, Jack, and hello, you know, that kind of...
Oh, we've got a mate like that. We've got a mate like that as well, haven't we, mate? Adam Barnes, but he doesn't mean to do it. He's just so lovely that everyone falls in love with him instantly.
Yeah.
And you have to keep him well away from your other halves, like...
He actually took a girlfriend off me once, Barnesy.
Did he?
Yeah, Joe Brown, did I?
Bastard. Wait till I see him.
Sheffield lad, that's it. It's a Sheffield lad. That's it. Problem.
That's it. Wrongins.
All the same. Right, chaps.
Right, lads. Thank you very much. Good luck next season. Well, fuck knows, you know, it's not done until it's done, but...
it's done, mate. It's done.
Good luck next season. And cheers, hope to speak to you soon.
Cheers, Jack.
We'll stay in touch on the old Twitter, sir.
Yes, sir.
Cheers, Jack. Cheers, Rog. See you later, man.
See you, Rog. See you later, lads.
How can such nice people support a club that did such a nasty thing to us on Sunday? What a strange sport this is. Moving on. That was the show. Hope you enjoyed it. Sorry it was a bit different. But did you really want to hear us predicting an easy last day of the season for an additional half an hour? Thought not. So you're welcome. If anything, normal service will be resumed soon. If not, we could probably replace the pod altogether with this text-to-speech gimmick. Because I don't know about you, but I find it absolutely fucking hysterical when it swears. Cunt dick cum fart boobs ass and shit. Ha 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 ha. Moving on. Please remember, we're on Twitter at RTR_pod, or at Tetrunk. Add Baines 13 in Roman numerals, or add Seb SB. The website is rtrpod.com, and we're on iTunes and Acast, so interact with all of that nonsense. Leave us iTunes reviews, 5 stars and all of that business. I've been the official voice of Rule the Roost, signing off this week. Come on, you Spurs, and we're going to win the Champions League.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.